regarding the king. Towards the beginning of the parasha, if a pasuk says kisa royal arts, it's Sheni, beginning of Sheni, you come to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem, 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 saying Loch. Viri Yishtov Yishavtu Av Yamarti, you will say, Asima Olai Melech. You will say, I wish to appoint upon me a king. Kichol ha-goyim asher sivi voisoi. Like all of the nations that surround me. So Hashem says, fine, you want a melech, gezunta heit, you can have your melech. Soim tosim olecha melech asher yivchar Hashem lukecha boi. But it has to be the king which Hashem selects. Mikerev achecha, a Jew. Tosim olecha melech. And then we begin all of the rules. Says there's a lot of repetition. You can medayik back and forth. You can spend the whole day analyzing the words, the repetition, the verbosity, and what each word means. But let's just read the words very quickly. You may not appoint a Gentile, asher lo yachichahu. And then we have more rules. Rak lo yarba lo susim. He may not have too many horses, so he should not take the people back to Egypt. And then v'lo yarba lo nashim. He may not have too many wives. And then it says he may not have he may not have too much money. The hayachis shiftoi. Next rule, when he sits on his throne, al kisei mamlachtoi v'chasev lo es mishnei atar hazoyz al sefer. B'lefei akaidim halavim, he has to write according to Rashi. For right now, like Rashi, he has to write two sifrei Torah, mishnei miloshem shnei, two sifrei Torah. Rashi says one he puts in the base Genozov and one he puts, one goes in and goes out with him to go wherever he goes. Wherever he goes with a Sefer Torah. It's worthy to read that those words of the Rashi. Esh Mishnei HaTorah, Shnei Sefer Torahs, Achas, Shehi, Munachas, Bebeis Genozov, the Achas. Here are the key words of today's Shir. Shed Nichneses, the Yotzeis Imo. One Sefer Torah. One Sefer Torah goes in and goes out with him. Wherever he goes, the Sefer Torah goes. He's always going to be accompanied by his Sefer Torah wherever he goes. Okay. Then it says, what does he do with the Sefer Torah? V'hoysa ima v'karbo kol v'chayav l'man yilma l'yira. He shall learn k'ay tefir Hashem and v'chulu v'chulu. It's amazing. If just look at this part, just before we get into now discussion, it's interesting is that basically the king of Klal Yisrael is the complete opposite of every king in the world. Every king in the world, the goal is to have as much money as you possibly can. As much money as you can accumulate, as much wealth, that is success. Success today in the world, it always was, it always will be, is measured in terms of money. The more money you have, the more successful you are. It's about the economy. Isn't that what it's always about? Okay, if the economy is good, everything is good. If the economy is no good, nothing is good. This is a fact. You cannot hide from the fact that the economy is what it's all about. Money, kesef ya'anes hakol. And the Torah says, not by Klal Yisrael. The Melech of Yisrael's success is not to be measured in terms of money. That is a shocking statement. Here you have a king, you have Klal Yisrael, who wants to be kichol hagoyim. They want to be like all of the nations. That's what they want to be. I want to be the Amar Tos asim olai melech kichol hagoyim asher sviv oisai. And that's what you want? I'm going to go out of my way to make sure that you're not going to be like all of the goyim. All of the goyim, the goal is there should be no deficit. There should only be success. And you, the melech wants wives. Isn't that Achashverosh? What did Achashverosh want?
Money.
18 Achashverosh, they could not have enough wives. Could not have enough women. Melech, you show you want to be like a chol hagoyim? Nope. The most you could have is 18. You want to be, you want to have horses? I mean, you want to have a military, a horse, or you want to have the most powerful military. And that's definitely, the Cold War. It's all about who has the more nukes. Who can nuke the world war? Who can destroy the world how many times over?
You think that's what it is?
What do you mean? The Torah says that what it is.
I thought it meant that for his own personal... Not to defend the nation.
No, I don't know. I don't know, but in either way,
all those things are matters of
personal
self-interest.
I'm not so sure. A king represents the country. The king is the country. I don't know. Okay, we have to analyze this. If there really is a difference, a king is the country. It would appear that a regular king of the Ummah Sa'ilam, from the Ummah Sa'ilam, there is no. It is expected. It is expected that the king can have as many wives as he wants, like Achashverosh. The king is the richest man in the world. Yes.
Not necessarily. He's not supposed to.
A king of the Ummah Sa'ilam.
He's not supposed to plunder the resources of his nation for personal benefit. Just because Goyim do that.
That's exactly the point. The Klal Yisrael says we don't have a melech kechol. It starts out, the pasuk starts out. V'yamar to asimo olai melech kechol hagoyim asher sivivoy soy. Look around the world. Look at all the countries that have kings. What is the king? The king has an unlimited supply of women. The proof being is Achashverosh. Kings are extremely wealthy. They have a lot more money than anyone else in the country has. They don't have any daigas of money. And they have susim. Susim appears to be a military. Susim is just represent tanks and fighter jets and nuclear missiles. That's what it would appear. Susim is just a dogma of a military, an army. The best horses. This is Paro when the Torah describes Paro coming to chase after Klal Yisrael. It doesn't tell us about his. It tells us about Sheish Meos Rechev Bochur. It talks about his horses. It's describing he came with the full might of his military to destroy Klal Yisrael. So when it says here that the Melech may not have too many horses, it means that the military of okay, let's put that aside.
18 wives seems like a lot to me.
Sure does.
Well, two is a lot.
Some people can't even manage one. It sure does. We have to understand the culture, the times. Achashverosh, how many wives did Achashverosh have? How many women did he have? Unlimited, right? V'chol is a very good for the Dal Malchios. Take each one of these things and focus on one of the Dal Malchios. Paras Modai would be the Noshim. Who would be the Susim? Which that would be Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, another time. Now here's the thing where the Torah is ahead of its time.
It's the nature.
The Torah here, I find this to be just leap off the page, at least for me. The Torah is ahead of its time. You ever listen to, I'm sure everyone listens to the news once in a while, and every once in a while, they throw in the news, the headlines, the presidential library. Every president has to have a library. The Obama presidential library, the Clinton presidential. Usually, it's the headlines. It's tied to a scandal. It's just a money laundering service. Half the time, the presidential libraries. That's really what it is, right? Half the time that they set up. There's a lot of garbage that goes on in the finances. They have this over and over in the news. Check it out about all of the presidential libraries. But every president has to have his presidential library. What do they have in that library? Who's one? What do they have? They have Moby Dick. What do they have over there? No. Tom Sawyer. What's there? Supposedly, what's there are.
By the most recent example, but generally speaking, it's supposed to be an archive for historians to look at presidential papers.
Oh, their contribution to world history.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Their legacy.
So their legacy, exactly. Documents, books. Anything that relates, anything in writing that relates
right.
to their contribution to world history.
Right.
The Obama
right.
President
no,
Library.
No. There are no papers in
just scandals.
Everything is secret.
And there is the Clinton Presidential Library, there's the Reagan Presidential Library, the Carter,
right.
every single president. And they raise money, millions and millions of dollars. And as I told you, check out the news. These presidential libraries are always scandalous. There's always the money laundering services. That's what they really end up being. That's what they do. They just have tax-exempt money, and what goes in there, no one really knows. So they're playing around with what's going on over there. That's what it turns out to be. But supposedly for the Belt, it's a library where they're going to present documents and books to preserve the legacy. So listen to the, okay, everybody, look what it says over here in this pasuk. The Torah says, you won't have a melech like all the guys. What are kings of this world? What do they have? They have a military. I know you don't like my pshat, but let's put that aside for now. They have horses, which basically is a concept. The military of the Melech Yisrael should be limited. Don't think you're going to conquer the world. The Noshim, maybe that refers to your foreign policy, whatever it is. Okay, whatever it is, limited. Kesef, Vizahav, your wealth is limited. You're saying it's personal. I'm suggesting that it really represents the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. Okay.
If it's now indulgent king is more easily corrupted.
Okay, but the a melech is the people. Leiv melech, the melech and the country. You can't distinguish between the two.
What does that mean?
Okay, let's not. Okay, it's not our main point. This is a separate discussion. But the Torah is telling what people in the world do and what you should not do. Don't tell me you want to be Kechol HaGoyim. Now, until recently, I never appreciated the fourth rule. The fourth rule is, oh, by the way, you're Jewish, so you should write 2 Sifrei Torah, put 1 in the Beis Kenozov, take 1 with you, and every day go to Shir, every day you should go to Kollel and read what it says in the Sefer Torah. Okay, very nice. Now I realize it's not what it means. It's not just a nice thing to do. It means everything here that it says in this pasuk is kineged, is opposite what the goyim do. Every non-Jewish king writes his own Sefer Torah. Not Hashem's Sefer Torah. Every goyish king has a presidential library. And what does it say in the presidential library? Not Hashem's Torah, not what was given me Sinai. Obama doesn't have in his library what Reagan contributed to the United States. Obama doesn't care about Reagan. Reagan has his presidential library. Obama doesn't have about Carter's contributions. Obama has, this is mine. This is what I need. Oh, should we have the Bible in the library? No, the Bible is God. I don't want to go put in my library what God did for this world. I'm not interested in telling you that God created the world in 7 days and God gave the Torah and God did this. That's not my library. I am writing a book, not one book. I have a library that has thousands of books. And you know what's in my library? Me. It's all about me. It's not about you. And it's certainly not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he wrote, his books. On his contribution, and not about the Talmidei Chacham, what they have to write. It's all part of, you want to be like the Goyim? Well, I'm telling you, don't be like the Goyim. Do not have too many women. More than 18. Do not have too much wealth. Do not have a military of susim. Don't have too many horses. And you know what? Don't have a presidential library. You're a melech of Klal Yisrael. Don't be like the Goyim. The Goyim will have the king's library. His, what he did for the world. I don't want you to have a presidential library. I want you to have a library about me. About what I did for this world. The Chosavlo is Mishnei HaTorah HaZois. This is the fourth. It's not, I always thought there are 3 rules. A king has 3 rules. A, B, C, Vizeh. And then, after the rules are over, there's a new concept. And the Torah says, you know, he's Jewish, you're Jewish, you should go to Kollel, you learn the Daf Yomi, you should go Kriyas HaTorah. So you know what? You don't write a Sefer Torah. Write 2 Sefer Torah, have 1 in Shul, and 1 that you go out with. It has nothing to do with the rules. The rejection of don't be like the Goyim. No, this is directly related to don't be like the Umma Yisraelim. The proof is, look what goes on in this world. Every head of state, Adam Mishagas, that when their Malchus comes to an end, they have to have their own library. And they raise, you know how much money they raise from these libraries? It's astronomical, with millions and millions of dollars. Some countries have more money in these libraries than some countries have in the whole budget of the country. Some of these libraries. It's a go look up how much money they, I don't know who gives the money for this. Hashem says rule number 4. Rule number 4. Goyim, they have books. They have The divrei hayamim, like don't we learn in the Megillah? Al kain kasu b'sefer divrei hayamim lemalchei modei foras.
What does it mean? Also.
Okay, it says that about the Jewish kings. It says there is a sefer melchamos. Okay, I hear, but the Torah is saying that obviously it's telling you on a different level, different scope. By the Goyim, it's all about the Sefer Divrei Hayamim, it's all about their libraries, look in America, proof is look in America, it's on America about the libraries. The Torah says, rule number 4, Goyim have a library about themselves. You are to have a library about Hashem. In your library, put the books that talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam, He created this world, He gave you the Torah, He gave you all the mitzvahs. That's the library for the Melech Yisrael, not the library about your own personal life. Okay, that's one vada, one big off my chest. Now, going further. The Melech has to have 2 Sifrei Torah. What does he do with 2 Sifrei Torah? 1 he carries with him wherever he goes. Now, the Baalei Musa say this. All of these things, the Torah says clearly, Levilti Rum Levavo. The goal over here is, don't get carried away with yourself. Who do you think you are? When a Sefer Torah, the most basic law of giving kavod to a Sefer Torah, the laws, the Aleph Beis is Vayihi bin Soya Ha'aroin Vayoyme Moshe Kuma Hashem V'yafutsu Oivecha, wipe out your enemies, Kuma, rise up. The most basic sort of kavod is when the Sefer Torah is in motion. When you open up the Aron HaKodesh and the Yavim Noiram and Slichais Me'ikar Hadin, you don't have to stand up. You don't. Because the Sefer Torah is munach in its own rishus. The Sefer Torah is in the Aron HaKodesh, it's munach in its own rishus. You don't have to Me'ikar Hadin. That's not the minog. A person is blessed with good health and is able, he should stand when the Aron HaKodesh is open. That's obvious. But if a person can't, it's difficult. You don't have to stand, even Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah, Me'ikar Hadin, the Sefer Torah is in the Aron HaKodesh, it's munach, it's resting, it's on Rishus, there's no need to, it's not required, al pi halacha. It's a minik to stand. But when they take the Sefer Torah out of the Aron, and the Sefer Torah is in motion, it's in motion, then you have to stand. That's halacha. That is, yeah,
Amchol? I understood that the purpose of the king's Sefer Torah was to remind him that he still answers to a higher authority.
Absolutely. There are many dimensions. There are many, it's only one reason. There are many reasons why he asked. One reason.
And that, of course, brings
well, it
back
says
to
in the. Exactly. Is that, but I want to bring out another idea. This is not my idea. This is from the Baalei Musa. Is that wherever the king goes today, the President of the United States, Havel Aleph Alpha Adults, when the office of the President of the United States is in motion, whoever sits in that authority, you know, when the president comes to town, it's gridlock. Gridlock. Wherever he comes, you know, the entourage, you have 50 vehicles, communication vehicles, satellites, you have an ambulance, they have, you know, it's just mind-boggling who's following around the president when they come, the press corps and this and that. They actually had an investigation. Who's exactly the people who drive these vehicles? You know, they hire people off the street to drive some of these vehicles. And some of these people, they can be sabotage. They can be who knows they are, who's driving. When the president comes down, they don't always have enough people to drive this massive entourage that goes around with him. And they need to just hire people off the street. You want to volunteer, man? They can go do a background check on you for 5 minutes, and they might even hire you. Okay, they don't even know who they're hiring. Sometimes there's a very fascinating investigation into this. What's really going on? But in any event, we understand that when the king comes, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, the entourage. So the president, you know, you can get a little carried away with yourself. Oh, look at that, look who I am. Guess what? They're not standing for you. They're standing for the Sefer Torah. It's a humbling, when the Kohen Gadol has, when the Melech has the Sefer Torah with him, the kavod they're giving is not for him. It takes away the honor. I told you this story 100 times, of Aaron Soloveitchik. He was given shir in Chaim Berlin a long time ago, and there was this new student who came to the shir, and everything that Aaron Soloveitchik said, he shlugged up. He raised his voice, and he kept on trying to show off. He knows everything. He kept on trying to shlug up to show the shir doesn't make sense. And of course, the boy, everything he said is total nonsense. Okay, so Aaron Soloveitchik was very kind to him, very generous, you know, You played along with him. You didn't give him mussar, even though he was a big mechutzif. When the shiur was over, the whole class is walking out the door. And then Hashkacha Pratis, as they're coming to the door of Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was at the door at the same time when that boy who gave him a hard time was walking out the door with him. So Aaron Soloveitchik said to the boy, "You go first. You go first." So the boy says in front of all the other boys there in the shiur as they're going out, "Rebbe, just because I slugged up your shiur doesn't mean you have to give me such kavod and let me go first." So if Aaron Soloveitchik says, "But that's not why I'm asking you to go first. You're holding in your hand a sefer. The reason why I'm telling you to go first is because you're holding in your hand the sefer. I'm not. I left my Gemara on the table. You walking out holding a sefer. And the halacha is that the two people come to the door and one of them is holding a sefer and the other one is holding nothing. The one that's holding the sefer has kedima to go first. The reason why I'm asking you to go first is because I'm following the halacha, not because I hold you to be the gadol hadar because you slugged up my shiur." Okay, that story illustrates exactly what it says here in this pasuk. The melech is supposed to write two sifrei Torah. One sefer Torah is stored the base gimel zav in his storage facilities in his inner chambers. The other shall go with him wherever he goes. Wherever you go, the sefer Torah goes. They go together. What effect does that have? Melech, we're not standing for you. We're not, when you walk into the room, we're not standing for you. We're standing for the Sefer Torah. You're just a regular, ordinary guy. There's nothing special about you. You're just a human being. The Torah is giving the Melech most everything over here in this psukim is all to humble the Melech. Oh, you want a Melech? Kechol ha-goyim. Okay, what do they play? What do they play for by when the president comes in? Hail to the chief?
Yeah.
What? Hail to the chief?
So
he made at least a good joke. You have to give him credit. He made a very good joke. I thought it was funny at least. Is that they played Hail for the Chief, and then he got up to speak and he says, "You know, every time they play that, you know, now when he's president, I always think, okay, when is he going to come already?" The media, you know, they made out of that. They made out. I thought it was a good joke. I actually like that joke.
Who said this? Biden?
Biden. So the media said he's senile. Come on, get a life. It's a good joke. It's a good joke. If it was a president that you liked said that joke, you would laugh. It's a very funny joke. So that thing is, he's carrying the Sefer Torah. Mark, where did you come from? Out of nowhere.
Israel maneuvers today.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. So when the melech comes, everything here is to humble the melech. The reason why you're standing is not because you; it's because you possess in your possession the sefer Torah.
If the king walks himself, you don't stand up.
Right? We do stand up, but the Torah says we don't want it. We want to humble you. If you have the sefer Torah, you can't say it's because of me. You have to say it's because even there's a Sefer Torah here. And the Torah is trying to say, the Melech, you are just a representative of the Torah. And the cover that Klal Yisrael is going to give you, it's not your Torah. It's not your cover. Don't ever forget that. It's the office of the president. You don't have them today. Who do you have respect for? You have respect for the office of the president. There's someone who occupies, who sits in that seat. Okay, is that's another issue? But this is the office. The Torah is going out of its way to say, this Kohen the Melech shall carry with him 24/7 the Sefer Torah. Every time he walks into the room, why are they standing? Are they standing for me? No, they're not standing for you. They're standing for the Sefer Torah. It's a humbling experience, and that's part of the technique that because that is the only time the Iker Hadin you have an obligation to give cover to him the Sefer. You don't have an obligation to come to a sefer. The sefer is the only HaKadosh. It's munach in a separate rishus. Of course, you're not going to behave in a room with there's an HaKadosh the way you behave in a different room. Of course, there are certain things you don't do where there's a sefer. We have a shul. But technically speaking, you can sit. There's a lower standard because the sefer Torah is put away. But when the sefer Torah is in motion, then the halacha demands you have to still have a choice. You have to, unless you can't, you have to stand off to the center when it is in motion. And the melech becomes now a carrier. He's always carrying the center. It's always going to be with him wherever he goes. Like, you know, today I'll have Elif Alfi Abdullah. Wherever the president goes, they carry the football. Okay? We always joke about that's what Meir used to do until he came to the Kollel. And then he came in because they noticed that he was pressing too many buttons. Okay, wherever the president goes, he carries the nuclear codes, whatever that means. The whole thing is probably make-believe today, because with technology, the whole thing is a whole new, whatever it is. But it used to be, they used to show a guy always walking behind him with a duffel bag. And what's in the duffel bag? They call it a code, they call it the football. Okay, wherever he goes, there it is. There's the football. Okay, so the melech, wherever he goes, there is a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah, the halacha, the vizyata, the derech, the Sefer Torah. That changes the equation, so the melech can never say it's because of me. Subconsciously, or even consciously, it is a humbling experience for the melech to know that it's not me. Because if not for me, anyway they would be stealing because of the Sefer Torah. It changes his mindset. Even though this is a mullah, it's a drush, because you'll say the reason why the Sefer Torah is there is always a constant reminder, everything you do has to be according to the laws of the Torah. Okay, now let's go. Inyan le'in ba'isin didn't cover the difference. So there are a lot of halachas that we learned in this. Once upon a time, we learned this. Let's just go over some new things. It's from a new Sefer, new different inyanim about giving honor to Sefer Torah. And obviously, Mikra didn't give honor. Obviously, you give cover to a real Sefer Torah. Now, the real Sefer Torah is very interesting. Why is the Sefer Torah written as a scroll? Why isn't the Sefer Torah, why did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai that the Sefer Torah should be written as a book, a codex? What is a codex? A book. What is the advantage of having a book over having a scroll? And I want to get to the end. Right, you come to Shul Parshas Bereishis, Monday, Thursday. Ever have this experience? You come to Shul, you take out the Sefer Torah right after Simchas Torah, and they open up the Sefer Torah. Where is it open to? Mizoyis HaBracha. So you got to be gargled all the way back. Take 5-10 minutes, and everyone's running to get out of Shul. You have to be gargled all the way back to Bereishis. It takes time. It takes time to be gargled from the end, from Mizoyis HaBracha to Bereishis, and you have to be careful. You don't want to damage the Sefer Torah, the clock. You have to be careful, you have to be good, it takes a lot of time. Well, if the Sefer Torah was written as a book, in book form, then all you gotta do is just take a second. There's just nothing to do. And they knew about this. You can't say they did not know how to put... Okay, you can't say that they did not know how to put a Sefer into a book form. The Aleppo Code, what is a codex? A codex, I think, is an old-fashioned word for a book. A codex is a word that stands in contrast to a scroll. A scroll.
No,
thank you, my life. Okay, so we have a scroll. So why? Why are our Sifrei Torah written in scroll form? Why can't we create it? We're dense. There are sophisticated ways to do this. We have pieces of parchment, and you bend them. And you make pages, and you connect them, you sew them together, and you have a book. And that way, you take out the Sefer Torah, you take it out, and you turn to the right page. Okay, obviously, when you're dealing with parchment and not with modern-day binding, it'll be a little bit different, but the advantage is, you'll be able to get to the destination in a split second. Whereas today, you have to roll. And the answer is, and this is a very delicate point, because by doing so, you are automatically putting one thing on top of another. Okay, let's take a step back.
In a book
form. Let's take a step back. Are you about to put a Gemara on top of a Chumash? You're not supposed to. There are opinions that say it doesn't really make a difference. I think the Aruch HaShulchan really says that. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to say that Mikra Din, everything is printed today. So when it's printed, you know, it doesn't really make a difference. That's not accepted. I'm not even so sure he actually says those words. You have to see more clearly what he says. But that's not accepted. Today it's accepted. There are certain protocols. There are certain rules of how we give cover to printed books. You do not put anything on top of a chumash. A chumash is king. The chumash always goes on top. Now, what about different chumashim? Let's say you have chumash b'midbar, chumash eilat, you know, you have different chumash. It doesn't matter. We're not all makkah. But all the same, you can put a devarim on top of a bereshis. Really? But devarim, you would argue, has a lesser sanctity, because devarim was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and bereshis is pure. Devarim was Moshe's contribution. Moshe had more of a chela, a human being, had more of a participation in the writing of devarim, whereas bereshis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, was mipia gvura, came straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, we don't make that distinction. We don't make you allowed to put a devarim on top of a bereshis. It's a good question, why not? It's a very tough question why you should be able to do so, because you're the Gzuntite. Really, you should say you shouldn't be able to do so. Really, you should say you should not be able to put a devarim on top of the first full chumashim, because devarim was written by Moshe had a chelek. There's more humanity in devarim than there is in the first four chumashim, which is purely divine. And what about bereishis? Maybe you should put bereishis shemos. Maybe you should put shemos on top of bereishis, because shemos deals with matan Torah. Whereas Bereshis is just a record of creation. You know, you can go crazy over this. If you want to go start making diyukim, which one has more sanctity, you can literally lose your mind of what has more sanctity, what has less sanctity. And then let's say you go, now let's look at Nevi'im. So we know the halach is Nevi'im and Ksuvim should do not go on top of a Chumash. A Chumash goes first at the top. Now what about, and this is very, very fascinating, and this really opens up a whole new world and really speaks volumes in and of itself, between Nevi'im and Kisuvim. I have a Tehillim, and I have a Sefer Shmuel. Which one has Kedima? Absolutely no Kedima, it makes no difference. You can put a Navi on top of a Navi can go on top of a Tehillim, or a Tehillim can go on top of a Navi. When it comes to Nevi'im and Kisuvim, none of them have Kedima over the other. Exactly the same. Oh, why is that so? Maybe we should argue that a Navi has more Kedusha, or you can argue Kisuvim have more Kedusha. It's because the whole shell on a Rosh Hashanah, when you say the 10 Sukkim on the Musaf, what do we say first? We say first the Ksuvim, and then we say the Nevi'im. But yet in our Sefarim, in our Tanakh, the Nevi'im come before the Ksuvim. So you can argue forever and ever which one has more sanctity, the Nevi'im or the Ksuvim. In the middle of Yisrael, of how we put the Sefarim on top of another, there is no difference between another and the Nevi'im.
So
it's
basically
equal.
Three classes, is what you're saying.
What?
It's basically three levels.
What do you mean three levels? There's Torah is first, then comes the Nevi'im Ksuvim, Nach. And then comes Tar Shabal Peh. Now, in Tar Shabal Peh, are you allowed to put an Acharon on top of a Rishon, a Ritzra? Okay, Rashi, you have a Ramban, a Rishon, and you have an Ar Sameach. You have an Ar Sameach. Are you allowed to go put an Ar Sameach on top of a Ramban? A Ramban, that's a Rishon. You have an Acharon, a Meshachach, an Ar Sameach. So you should know your different opinions. There are some opinions, I can't tell you the old names, they have a whole list of names over here. Something it's not proper. You should have derech eretz, that we shine him have kedima over achronim.
How about putting a Rambam on top of the Gemara, let's say, for sure not.
So there's also part of the machlekes, because the Gemara is the Tanoi Van Meroyim, and then you have Rishonim. So halacha l'maisa, we're very maker. Mm-hmm. Halacha l'maisa, the average person, when it comes to Torah Shebal Peh, it makes no difference. You can even put someone who wrote a sefer today. How about you have a Talmud Vasek? You have Mark writes a sefer. Meir writes a sefer. Could you put Meir's sefer on top of a Rambam? On top of a Rambam. Are you allowed to do that? So they say, so many people say no difference. As long as you're Shomer Torah Mitzvos and you write something else. You write Torah Shebal Peh is one class. You cannot start making chilukim. Once you start making chilukim, you can go out of your mind. This Torah Shebichsav, in Torah Shebichsav we make a distinction between Chumash and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and then we come to Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh, everything goes. There's no difference a Gemara and a Rambam, no even a Gemara and putting your Sefer, Yankee Greenbaum Sefer. Your Sefer can go on top of a Rambam. There is no Chumash. Others say don't go that far. You should have a little sensitivity to appreciate the Rambam versus an Acharon. Some make a pshara, so it's very fast to make a pshara. You should not do it. You should not go and take an acharon, take an or sameach, the brisker of Rav Chaim Halevi, and put on top of a Rambam. But if you walk into the room and you see that the or sameach is on top of a Rambam, you have absolutely no obligation to exert yourself to take it off. If you come into a room and you see a nach is on top of a chumash, you're obligated to take it off. If you see there's a nach on top of a chumash, that's not correct. You have to exert yourself, take the nach off the chumash. Chumash goes on top. But if you come into a room and you see an acharon is on top of a gemara, it's all Torah Shabbat Peh. You have no obligation to twitch, to do anything. When you're learning and you're putting things away, then you should try to express a degree of dignity, of honor, to understand the difference between the Gemara, the Tanaim, Amarayim, and Arisha, and Acharon, v'chul. These are very different. But why are we going over this? Is because this is the Milah, according to some, of a scroll. We went back to this question. Now, we can't go Meshug over this. But let's go back to the Ikar HaDin. We started with the question, really, should you be permitted to put a Chumash Devarim on top of Bereishis? Chumash Devarim, there was an element of human contribution. Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu, a human being, contributed to Sefer Devarim more than the pure divine, the Pia Gevura, of the first four Chumashim. How dare you? How dare you put a Chumash Devarim on top of a Bereishis? So the answer is no, you're right. You're right. You know why you're right? That's why we have scrolls and we don't have books. The Sefer Torah is not a codex. They had a codex in ancient times. They knew about making books. It would be a tremendous smile today if our Sefer Torah were arranged like books, and we can find the page. We can find the page in a second. We can find it. So why is it that our Sefer Torah are in a scroll? Because when something is in a scroll, it's not considered to be one thing is on top of another. When you have a book, there's a problem. And open up the book, this page, look at the problem. I have here Ibn Ezra, a Radak, the Malbim, the Chidah. This is now on top of the holy words of the Navi. That's disgraceful. No, isn't that disgraceful? So you'll say to me, you're crazy. It's a book, it's a book. A book is a book. We're so brainwashed, it's right, to us it sounds crazy. Also, it's paper, and it's been printed by a computer, it's a photo offset, and it's this and it's that. But let's go back to pure parchment with someone, a sefer, who writes it down with kavana, l'shem, kedusha, sefer Torah. How could you put, let's say, the story of Bilam, the story of Lavan Ho'arami, on top of the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad V'yohavta Eis Hashem Elokech B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nafshon B'chol Midech. Have a book here, Sefer Torah. I have over here the whole story. I have all the Rishon, the Anshei Sedoim, a page of Anshei Sedoim, and a page of Bilam, a page of Lavan, a page of Besuel, all the whole Chevra, Esav. In a way it does, because when they ask you a question, why should there be a difference? It is a difference. Think about it. Because when you have pages, everything is separate. A page is a page. When you have a codex, this is a page. This page has the story of Esav HaRasha. This has a story of Lavan, a story of this. It's a page. It is a page. It's flat. It's flat as a page. And then all the way on the bottom it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. We'll have to ace Hashem Elokeinu. Okay, and you'll find a pasuk here, Matoivu Lecha, you'll find a pasuk here. Really? You have the chutzpah to go put Esav, his page, stands right on top and all the way underneath? What's the difference of taking a nach and putting it on top of a chumash, having inside a codex of page? It's a disgrace. So to us today, you laugh at this. What are you talking about? A book is a book. Le'din Torah le'malachei hasharis. Get real. You know, you can't live in a life like this with every little human back. You have a chumash. Okay, here's a chumash. And here is an acharon. Okay, so then we'll play by the rules. But in a book itself, Yes and no. Being practical in the modern practical world, when things are printed, that's the way it goes. But a Sefer Torah is a Sefer Torah.
Can you make a scroll that has it?
Well, there are such things. They definitely have such things, but we don't do it. I mean, because we have no purpose in doing it today. We have no purpose in having a whole Tanakh. It's not kosher to you're not Yosef Kriya Satorah, I don't think. If you have a whole Tanakh, and you're not Yosef Kriya Satorah, I don't believe so. Yeah, it has to be only Chamisha Chum Shetor. It has to be separate. It has to be miyuchad, as the Torah Smoshe. Chamisha Chum Shetor. But having a scroll, everything is rolled, it's continuous. Even though you'll tell me, what do you mean? If you look at any piece of parchment in the scroll, those words are resting right on top. You'll do the pin test. Like in the Gedolei Yisrael, they say, I don't know if it's true, the Gedolei Yisrael, if you put a pin through the Gemara, they'll tell you where every single word that has been penetrated by the pin, that has gone through the pin. You know exactly what is on the pin. So you go take a Sefer Torah that's rolled up and you'll put a pin to the Sefer Torah. It turns out that the pin went through Esav and then it went through Hashem's name. So you're putting Esav somewhere in the scroll, right? You have a Sefer Torah, it's a scroll. Somewhere in the scroll, Esav is going to be resting on top of Yudkei Vavkei. Oh, that's disgraceful. That's not called on top. When something is circular, something is circular, that is not called at you resting. The world is a big circle. The world rotates. Something that is rolled does not create an impression of I'm on top of you. I'm not, because it's considered everything is in its own place. It's that's the nature of how we do
something when you
yeah, when something is rolled, it's not considered to be considered
when you go to a safe production. Yeah, but that's what said, then how come you still put the radiates high on top but gracious on top? I mean, when you go, I mean, at least that much, right?
It's not a perfect solution, obviously, because something has to be on top, obviously.
No,
but
I understand, though, because what comes to mind is this, that literally one rabbi who was fired at Flatbush used to say that when it's gracious on top until you get to the Aseres Adibros and Devarim, and then after Bas Chanon, Devarim goes on top. That was his sheet. Never heard it from anybody else, and other rabbis told me to forget about it, but he wasn't nobody. Said it, but I'm just,
okay, there is something
know,
to it, but
so what you said about Shema Yisrael was interesting. That's why I mentioned it.
Okay, there's no scroll,
yeah.
Like you said, it's not a perfect solution, because somewhere in the Sefer Torah that's rolled up, you'll have Esav on top of Yudkei Vavkei, somewhere down in the middle, or something similar to that concept. You'll have Sukkim,
right.
but yet. What's the alternative? The alternative is to have a book.
Solution.
The alternative is to have a book. The book. And what's the advantage? Because a book, you can get to the place right away. But a book form, a codex, it's munach al mishkavoy b'sholom. It's flat. It's resting. This page is on top. This page is below. It's a world of a difference. The having it rolled is not perfect, but it creates an entirely different frame of mind. It creates an entirely different impression of nothing has more chashivos than another. There's this equality. Okay, in this country, isn't it all about equality? It's all about no one should be supreme. No one should stand on top of something else. Okay, there's obviously something to that, and that is more important than tircha d'tzibura. That principle that there should be an appreciation that no one stands, there's no part of Torah that is more dominant than anyone else, that should be resting b'menucha on top of the other, it's kedai to be moichel on the tircha d'tzibura to get to the correct location. It's far-fetched to say they did not know there's something called book a book form in ancient times. When Chazal, Yisrael Chazal, they made the Sefer Torah. They're the ones who made the Sefer Torah. Well, even Moshe Rabbeinu, they weren't so sophisticated to know that you can make a book. It's not possible.
But the Goyim used to have scrolls also. They didn't.
They had scrolls and they have to study. But it can't be that they didn't know about it. It's like, oh wow, a new invention to make a book. Books go back, codexes go back long, long ago, way back.
But easier to use a codex. Why did the Goyim use a codex?
They do. They've been using codex from time immemorial. Yeah. I'm listening. Yeah.
That is so great. They talk about being girl of Sefer Torah. They don't call it Tiachet Tzibura. They say it's a bazillion for the Torah.
To wait. Right, it's a bazillion for the Torah, fine. So, okay.
No, so we think of it as
us. It's all about us.
It's the opposite.
It's all about us. It's a bizarre that the Sefer Torah should have to be rolled and be prepared for it. It's the other way around. Okay, so fine, it's a bizarre for the Sefer Torah, but that is less critical than the alternative of having a codex. Because of one of the reasons to explain, there are other reasons for this, but one of the reasons is there is an element in piling, when you have to pile Sefarim on top of the other, there is a protocol. Okay, the protocol today, we're very, very lenient, and that is Torah comes first, then comes equal, Nevim Ksuvim, and then pretty much comes Torah Sheh Baal Peh. Torah Sheh Baal Peh, there are some people that attempt to differentiate between the earlier and the later, whether it will be a Gemara, Gemarish, and Mishnayish should come before Rishonim and Achronim, and even some will be tried to differentiate between Rishon and Achron. If you get too worked up about this, you're going to go crazy about this. But in the Sifrei Kodesh that are written on Klaf with Diyoy, and there's a human being who actually wrote it. It wasn't written, spit out by a machine. And there's a Kedusha of L'shem, Kedusha Sefer Torah that's injected into every single letter in the Sefer Torah. There's a Hakpada that there should not be an appearance that one thing is more important. And when you make a book where you're taking slices of parchment and you're resting them one upon the other in some sophisticated form, the bottom line, when it's all said and done, you have a stack of paper. You have a big stack. And what's on top in the mind of a human being is more choshev. It's more choshev. And the Torah, you can't do that. You can't go start saying, this is choshev, that's not choshev. It's all the same in the Torah. When you have a continuous circular scroll, it creates a different impression in the mind that we're not ascribing chashivas to anything more than the other. Now, obviously, when you goyel it, there are different issues. How are you goyel Sefer Torah in the Tanakh? It should go to the beginning to the end. In fact, you have a whole Tanakh. You're supposed to be goyel it to the front where the Torah is on top. I don't remember that there are some protocols, but it is an impression that addresses this issue of giving more kavod. Now, regarding giving kavod to Sfar, there are many other issues. Let's just talk about some other issues. The most common thing today, the big problem today, is photocopies. You go into a shul, and wherever you look, there's a little booklet. It used to just be years ago, it was very simple. It just had a piece of paper, photocopies, this parsha sheets. Today, Baruch Hashem, no more parsha sheets, parsha booklets. Today, the more sophisticated, they don't just put out a sheet. There's a staple, you know, it's bound. And then they get really, they have even soft covered. Do these things, do you have to give respect to these things? Can you throw them out? Can you put them in the garbage when Shabbos is over? How do you deal with these things? So the rule of thumb, at least today, it's getting a little more complicated as the days go by, is anything that does not have a hardcover, you can basically put in the garbage, but they're covered. Put in the recycling. You can read what it says, learn what it says, even if there is a Shem Hashem, even Yud Kei Vav Kei.
What about a sitter?
A sitter? What do you mean? No, a sitter is a sefer. A sitter is a sefer. No, okay, you took the different types of covers. Okay, you make a good one. I'm talking about you go to shul, so they have a pamphlet. They have a pamphlet. If the pamphlet has a soft cover, the understanding is a soft covered pamphlet that they put on the table, a sheet for sure. Even something that is stapled and is like bounding to some degree, but it's soft covered. The understanding is this is not meant to be preserved. It's printed without the sanctity of a sefer. And you can read it, you learn it, and when they finished, it is put in the recycling bin and disposed of, and there is no kedusha. What? What?
They say a kid is in yeshiva, right?
They have soft covered sfar. No. So anything that is, you have to just use your seichel. What is considered to be leman yamdu yomim rabim? If something, generally something that has a soft cover is not meant to be leman yamdu yomim rabim. Something with a hard cover, even if, you know, people are not going to pay much attention to this. You put on a hard cover, you're giving it automatically means you're giving it sanctity. You're giving it a degree of sanctity. If it's soft covered, but of course, if you have a soft covered siddur, or you have children, they have a perek of Gemara that is soft covered, and it's meant they're going to use this to study, to learn a whole year, or even for the summer, that is a different category. Something that is meant clearly, leman yamdu yomim rabim, that must, and it's used, actually you learn from it, you must put that in geniza, which means you just can't put it with the recycling. It has to be put away, it has to be put miyuchid to be disposed of in a halachic way, which the truth is, unfortunately, it's very scandalous what really goes on with Seamus. Seamus, unfortunately, basically ends up, in many cases, put in the garbage. You know, and now it's a little bit better, now they've already revealed all the scandals, and they've tried to have special burial locations for Seamus. It used to be what happened to Seamus. This is not. I'm telling you facts. Is they basically took it to a landfill, the same landfill that they throw all the garbage, the city garbage, the same garbage that comes out of everyone's house. That's where the Seamus went. And if you're lucky, the only difference was, you know, these landfills, they're massively deep, beyond our comprehension how deep they go. And they just, everything, and they have these massive machines like you've never seen your whole life, are able to compress, they roll over them and compress it. The only difference it used to when it came to Seamus was, they made an arrangement that before they throw the next collection, they would lay out on top of the garbage, on top of a massive mound of garbage, they will lay out like a rubber or some type of plastic sheet. They would lay it out flat, and then they would put all the Seamus, a ton of Seamus, and then they would put on top of that another plastic sheet or rubber sheet, and then on top of that, more garbage, more garbage, more sewer, more garbage, more garbage. The rubber sheets didn't really protect the svarim from it, all of the schmutz leaking in, and certainly the stench from below and the worms and the garbage from below certainly also came up. So what did you really have? He had garbage, 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 and in the middle was Seamus, choshev things, svarim, kisvei kodesh, tefillin, mezuzos, shocking. And on top of that, more garbage, 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 garbage. And what's separating the Seamus? Supposedly, some layer of rubber, which is probably illegal because rubber is, you know, it's not bio, what's it called? Degradable. So it's probably also questionable if they even did that, because, you know, today everything has to be biodegradable, has to be good for the environment. The whole thing is totally crazy. And it was all a big secret. It was a very
biodegradable sponge.
The whole thing was, so today, the people who were doing this got caught. They got caught, and some askonim got involved, and they bought property. There's a certain place that they purchased. They purchased basically private landfills for Sfarim in the Catskills. I think a lot of the stuff now is in the Catskills, maybe some in Muncie. They purchased land in the middle of nowhere, and they exclusively bury in these places. They put in these places in a dignified way. Shemus, the way it should be done. Okay, that's a much more recent development, but they charge you for it also. They charge you plenty of money, but because there was a partial investigation. Where is the Shemus going? What's going on over here? And the revelation of where it really goes is just mind-boggling. Like basically, it was basically buried with the garbage. Garbage below, garbage on top, and the goyim, you don't have any choice, you don't have any control. When you go to these landfills, you know, the people in charge are the people who run these places. They have these massive tractors like you've never seen in your whole life, and these things can just, they do whatever they want. They'll tell you they'll do this, they don't care, they do whatever they want, and the end is the svarim are buried with trash. That was the reality, and today, to a large degree, to some degree, they don't do that anymore. Today they have private landfills in the Catskills. But you know, when I was many years ago, when I went to Camp Morris, I was in Camp Morris, so right near Camp Morris, there was a Shemus place. It was horrific. It was basically a pond. It was a pond. It was just basically water, and you saw floating in the water boxes and svarim. It was like, what? This is where the Shemus goes? And it wasn't even put there in a dignified way. It was like dumped, like someone like just dumped all these svarim and who knows what. What? You just dump it like garbage? What? They don't really do that. They go, when they years ago they did that by a cemetery. No, you don't. They don't do that today. Yeah, but what? It's not. They don't think they like it. I don't think it's not something that's. Nothing. They do that when they go and they bury people. So they go and they put, once the grave is open, they put in the grave, they put in svarim. I mean, it's a little bit strange.
I've seen it a lot, but yeah,
but they don't. I don't see. I don't think they do
actually,
it too much
it's not
anymore.
A good solution. Why is it strange?
What?
Every case. You
it's not. First of all, it's not about coveting for the svarim because the people who are putting these things in, they're not doing it. They're not. The goal is not when you put it into the ground, and it's not protected. It's you're being mavazet. It's going
to
get wet.
When it rains,
the soil there are rodents in the ground. It, what are you doing?
You're
destroying
it. You want it to degrade. You want it to be preserved.
You don't want it. You don't want a natural. You don't want to be or die and destroy it. You want it to degrade naturally. Today, the truth is nothing's going to degrade naturally. Today, the paper. You see, the Shemus of Chazal is very different than the Shemus today. Tafam Chazal, you deal with parchment. You're dealing with things that are for real, they're degradable. They really, after a couple of years, they turn into dust. I think of the old, remember the old Gemaras? I remember when I was a kid. I used to go, my father gave a shear in the Lower East Side before Mincha. So I remember every Shabbos, they took out the Gemaras, and when they finished learning, this big, tall guy, he would basically, with a brush, clean off the table the pages of the Gemara, everyone remembers this, right? The pages, they crumbled.
Disintegrated,
right? So that's the way it was in time of Chazal. You have a Sefer. What happens to the Sefer after 50 years? Disintegrates. So it turns into dust. Today, a Sefer today is not turning into dust. No way. You take a Sefer, you put a Sefer in the Beis HaChayim, it's not turning into dust. What are you doing with it? It's giving mavazit. It's going to get waterlogged. It's going to become disgusting. That's what you're doing. You're biodayim. You're taking the sefer and you mavazit the sefer biodayim by putting it in such a way. That's not what you do. That's ridiculous. The way they do it today is, and the people they show the patriarchal and the place that are responsible, they have these massive private lots of land, and they put in boxes. And they package the Shemus in a bakovedic way. Everything is piled up in a dignified way in a box or in boxes. And the ground below is thoroughly covered with different types of material to make the very, very bottom layer. It's covered with thick rubber. in order that, you know, the best, and then it's put, and then they somehow, they seal it on top. They seal it for real, and then they cover it with earth. It's not, al derech hateva, water is not gonna leak inside. It's not gonna disintegrate. It is what it is. It's there. It's munach there in the ground. It's not likely that rain or anything is going to penetrate it because it's put away. It's put away by kovedik. It's sealed on below. It's sealed above, and it's covered with earth. It's like a mausoleum. That's how they do it today in the good places. That's how they do it today. They put in a klicharis. It says there in front of them, take a sefer Torah. You're not supposed to just bury a sefer Torah in the earth. You don't do that. You put a sefer Torah in a klicharis. In a klicharis, in an earthenware, like the Dead Sea Scrolls. Mm-hmm. They're all in the klicharis. Pottery. That's how they survived. The goal is not to destroy it. You don't destroy Seamus. Taking Svarim and putting it in the ground and covering with earth, you have basically just thrown in the garbage. That's a bazillion. What do you expect? Take a sand, you put it in the ground. First, it's wet, it's dirty. When the next time it rains or snows, it's disgusting. That's called Seamus? That's not what Seamus is. Seamus is you bury it in such a way where it's preserved. It's preserved. You don't have to go meshuga. You don't have to go vacuum seal it and go and have massive klecheres and chest. You put down rubber, they have techniques today. They put down a massive sheet of rubber, they could spray that spray, rubber spray. They open, they dig very, very deep, and they spray the ground with a certain type of rubber, which creates a seal, and then they take it back, they package everything nice and neat. They don't just dump it like garbage. They go and they put it down there nice and neat, compact, and then they, on top of it, they spray rubber again, okay, and it's sealed, and then on top of that, they put earth. That's a very dignified, bakovedic way to bury Seamus. Doing anything else today with our type of things that we have today, it's not gonna disintegrate. You just, it's disgusting. It's a tremendous bazillion. And to be fooled to think that you're going to pay someone $20, Eric Pace, I'll take a bag of Seamus, mm-hmm. And the end is, you know what happened to that bag of Seamus? They threw it in the garbage. That's basically what they did. They took the Yule truck, they drove the Yule truck, even if you're lucky, went down to a landfill, and they emptied out the truck and they gave the people there a couple of bucks. And if you're lucky, before they went and they poured the next massive garbage, they put down, they rolled out some type of plastic, and then they dumped it in, and then they put a plastic on top of it, and then the tractor came and put the rest of the New York City garbage on top of it. That's what was happening until now. And that is certainly not about covering a way to dispose of Seamus. The way they wait, supposedly now in the Catskills and Munson, these places, these Askanim, are doing it private locations, preparing the ground beneath, sealing it on top, putting it in boxes and putting it in position in a dignified way. That is the way to do it. Taking things, say, in the cemetery, throwing it in, that's not a mahalach. That's an old-fashioned type of idea, which probably comes from ancient times where things mamishly disintegrated, and the type of paper they had anyway disintegrated, so they put it in a certain way. All right, unfortunately, we're out of time. There's a lot more on this. Maybe another time we'll continue discussing these topics. Have a wonderful day. Oh, it's just a couple parts. Who would have known? Amen. Amen.